Big decisions from a wee little man. Big decisions from a wee little man. The decisions we make and we have the opportunity to make impact eternity. So today we're going to look at big decisions from a wee little man. I proudly come from Christian Harbor Youth Camp. In fact, Christian Harbor Youth Camp is on Holcomb, Lake Holcomb, not too far from here, and my parents met at Christian Harbor Youth Camp, and so I feel as if I owe my life to that place. And so I've served at Christian Harbor Youth Camp for many, many years. I serve on the board and serve in the activities that go on there, and I'd like to share a story of what happened at Christian Harbor Youth Camp this last year. I have the opportunity to speak at 8th and 9th grade, and I've been doing this for several years, and I kind of create a flow for the speaking sessions of the week. And so we start on Sunday, and on Sunday evening, I let the campers know right away. I say, you're going to have an opportunity to make a decision on Thursday of that week. You'll have an opportunity to make a decision. I even tell you what that opportunity is. You have an opportunity to make Jesus Lord of your life, or to not, right? But you're going to have an opportunity to respond and make that decision on Thursday. And so I let them know that right off the bat on Sunday. And so we're going through our week and through our process and through our curriculum and through our classes throughout the week. And each chapel is in the evening for each night. And on Wednesday I borrow or steal, because good preachers steal good material, right? And so Francis Chan has this really great illustration using a rope. And he has this huge rope. So I borrowed this amazingly long rope. It comes on this huge spindle. I've never completely unwrapped it. And it's not even mine. I borrowed it from a friend at my church. And I've used this several times, but it comes on this huge spindle. And I brought this rope up into chapel. And the chapel itself is probably the size of the sanctuary. And so I brought this rope, and I gave it to one of the counselors. And I say, Liam, can you take this? And we're going to take this rope, and we're going to take it all the way around the inside of the chapel, all the way around the inside of the sanctuary. And so he did. And he walked it around, so the whole rope is going around all of the campers in the sanctuary. You say, whoa, I got a lot of rope here left. Right? So why don't you take this rope and take it outside and take it all the way around the chapel? And so he did. And he had this big process. He takes it all the way around the chapel, and he ends up bringing the rope all the way up front down the aisle. And there's still this huge amount of rope still on the spool. And I explained to the kids, campers, this is what eternity is. This is what eternity is. You see, it just goes on and on and on and on. And you know what? There's only one person that can love you for eternity, and that's God. And then at the end of this rope, there's about an inch and a half piece of tape. And the tape's wrapped around the end of the rope, about an inch and a half. You say, you see this little piece of tape that's wrapped around this rope? This signifies your life. And what you do, the decisions that you make here on earth, will impact the rest of eternity. So what decisions will you make here on earth that will impact eternity? Because God has given you eternity. He's told you that He will love you for eternity. And it's up to you to make that decision to be with Him. I love that illustration because it just seems so simple, yet it's so hard, isn't it? The decisions we make on earth impact eternity. And so that was Wednesday night. So Thursday comes. I call it Decision Thursday. Right? And Decision Thursday, I provide an opportunity for the campers to respond. And so Thursday night, I talked about being connected to the vine and how do we connect with Jesus and how do we make that decision. And so at the end of chapel, I take the rope the rope that signifies eternity, and I drape it over the cross. And then I invite the campers to come, and I have some painter's tape, some blue painter's tape, and some magic markers, some Sharpie markers. And I invite them to come forward, and if they want to choose Jesus for the first time, to come forward. If they need to choose Jesus again because they've walked away, they can come forward. Or if they just, if they are committed to Jesus and they're going to commit further into Jesus, that they want Jesus to be in their lives for eternity and spend eternity with him, to come forward, write your name on the piece of the tape, and affix it to the rope, signifying that I want to be with Jesus for eternity and that Jesus loves me for eternity. That was powerful. The worship team came forward. We sang, "Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you." And during that song, the campers responded, and there were about 50 campers, and they lined up in order to write their name on this tape and affix it to the rope. The next day, we baptized 5 campers, and on Saturday, we baptized 3 more. They were immersed in the salvation that is offered in Christian baptism. Praise God. Decision Thursday. The decisions we make here on earth impact us for eternity. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for eternity, and that we don't have to live it alone. We have the opportunity to be with you, and you call us and you invite us to be with you. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for who you are and the opportunity that you give us to be with you. Lord, help us in determining these decisions that we make each and every day with the realization that they impact eternity. Lord, I pray your message be clear, and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." Right? So I remember learning that. I was a wee little lad when I learned that wee little song. I remember being down in the basement of the Sheldon Church of Christ, and Connie Cooper would pound out the notes on the old piano down there, right? And we had opening exercises. I don't know how that came to be, but that's what we called it, opening exercises, when all the kids got together before Sunday school and we sang these songs. And of course, right, we had actions to this song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but they weren't nearly dramatic enough, I didn't think. So I had to sing, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he," in my own special little way, right? "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, 'Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today.'" I just had to be dramatic, had to be big. Zacchaeus was a wee little man that made some huge decisions. We're going to look at Luke 19 today. Luke 19. And in Luke 19, we see the story of Zacchaeus and his encounter with Jesus. Because Zacchaeus was a wee little man who made some huge decisions. In Luke 19, starting in verse 1, we read, "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So in Luke 19, we're going to look at the decisions that that Zacchaeus made and how they impacted eternity. You see, the first decision that Zacchaeus made is he wanted to see who Jesus is. In verse 3, it says he wanted to see who Jesus is. You see, Zacchaeus had a desire to not just view Jesus. It doesn't say he just wanted to see him. He wanted to see who he is. Not just view him as he passed by, but to see who he is and what he's about. But Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was short, and he could not see him, which led him to decision number 2. You see, Zacchaeus didn't let his personal inadequacies keep him from seeing Jesus. And as you look through your life, I'm absolutely confident you can relate to personal inadequacies. And it's amazing to me because I believe God gives us these inadequacies so that we can be fulfilled by Him. So that we can find our completeness in Him. And by overcoming these inadequacies, it shows the desire to be with God. And I think about inadequacies that we suffer, that I suffer. Maybe I can't read the best, I can't talk the best. Maybe I have 2 left feet. Maybe I just have a short temper. Maybe I can't stay focused long enough. But it's these inadequacies that we can overcome and be filled by God's power and shows our desire to be with Him. And so Zacchaeus didn't let his personal inadequacies keep him from seeing Jesus. It's interesting how our society, we like to blame other people, right? We like to feel like it's not our fault. And many times it may not be, but yet we like to play the victim role. But yet Zacchaeus gives us an amazing example of overcoming an inadequacy in order to see Jesus. Which leads us to decision number 3. Zacchaeus didn't fall victim to present circumstances. You see, he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd, but he did something about it. You see, you're not defined by your circumstances, you're defined by how you react in those circumstances. I'll say that again. You're not defined by your circumstances, you're defined by how you react in those circumstances. Zacchaeus' circumstances were very clear. He wanted to see Jesus, he's too short, the crowd's in front of him. And so he had an opportunity to react in that circumstance. And that's how we look, and that's what defines Zacchaeus today. And how he reacted to that circumstance. So what kind of circumstances in your life that you feel like you're controlled by? And how do you react in those circumstances that will prove your desire to be with God? In verse number 4, we see decision number 4. You see, Zacchaeus sought an opportunity to see the glory of Jesus. I love how it says, verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. So he ran. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, so he ran to go see Jesus. He urgently sought after opportunities to catch a glimpse of the Savior. I love how Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And I think about in our lives, how do we earnestly seek God? Do we run ahead just to catch a glimpse of the Savior? I have a morning discipline that on my way to work, I have a 20-mile drive to work every single day. And in that drive, I make sure I pray for my kids every day. And I pray for my kids for 15 years this prayer. I say, Lord, in Jesus' name, please destroy the work of the devil in their lives. And Lord, please just show your glory to them. That was my prayer for 15 years. And just this last year, I'm saying this prayer, and God reveals to me, Stone, you idiot. I show my glory every single day. It is there for you to see and everybody to see. But do we urgently seek after it like Zacchaeus did? And so I changed my prayer for Caleb and Hannah, and I say, Lord, please give them hearts that will just seek a glimpse of your glory. Because that's where the true action happens. That's where transformation happens. When we seek after God earnestly and we seek after his glory. Just a glimpse of his glory. And look at Zacchaeus. He just sought a glimpse of his glory. He ran ahead. Zacchaeus overcame the barriers, his stature and his circumstance, to seek Jesus, which leads us to decision number 5. He used the tools available to him at the time. Right? Zacchaeus didn't have to create some creation, but yet he used the tools that was available to him at the time. He climbed the tree. He climbed the tree. So I love the visual of this guy. I don't know what he was wearing, but he's a wealthy man, so he's probably pretty well dressed. And he's climbing this tree. The wealthy guy is climbing the tree. He humbled himself to be in a position to see Jesus. Be in a position to see Jesus. I supervised a McDonald's store for several years, McDonald's restaurant. I was a general manager for about 4 years. And I trained many managers, so shift managers who would be responsible for the restaurant during a specific shift. So they'd be responsible for positioning the crew and making sure that we had enough product, making sure the people were in the right spot and the equipment was working correctly. And so one of the greatest lessons that I ever taught the managers is you need to be in a position to make a decision. Right? You have to be able to see what's going on to be able to make a decision to change it if it needs to be changed. Right? So it's really common for a manager to see something that needs to get done, and it's usually French fries. Right? You can't be waiting on French fries at McDonald's. Okay? So whenever French fries might get a little behind, they'll run over to the station and they'll just start bagging French fries, right? And then, so where are they looking when their head's deep into the fry station? They can't see the customer standing at the counter, right? So they need to be able to be in a position to make a decision. The same thing is true in our spiritual lives. We need to be in a position to make a decision. That's what Zacchaeus demonstrates for us. He climbs up the tree. He exerts some effort in order to elevate and use the tools available to him so that he can see the Savior. Do you put yourself in a position to see the Savior, to make a decision for him? Do we use the tools available to us? God's Word, God's family, the church, the Holy Spirit that is given to us and promised to us. The blessings and challenges in our life that allow us to see Jesus clearer. Be in a position to make a decision. Picking up in verse 5, we read, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Verse 5 and 6, Jesus calls out Zacchaeus by name. This is powerful to me. Isaiah 43:1 says, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. How did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? I think the same way he knows your name and my name. Zacchaeus, come down. I must be with you today. Zacchaeus received a divine call from the Savior, It's not only amazing Jesus knew Zacchaeus, but even more amazing was Jesus' statement declaring he must stay at Zacchaeus' house. This word must in the Greek is pronounced di, which declares it as necessary or only proper for this to happen. It's only proper for Jesus to be with Zacchaeus. This very declaration is given to us today. Our divine calling, come down out of our trees, free from our inadequacies and fears, and spend time with the Savior today. It doesn't matter if your house is ready for company, Jesus wants to abide with you today. Isn't this amazing? Jesus said, I must be with you today. And Zacchaeus received him gladly. Gladly. He didn't say, whoa, I need to put my house in order. I didn't get the laundry done from this morning. No, Zacchaeus receives him gladly. So decision number six, so he came down. Zacchaeus came down. He decided to heed the calling of Christ and meet with him. Notice Zacchaeus' sense of urgency. He came down at once. It didn't say, I'm going to hang out here for a while. I'm going to pray about this. You see, as Christians, I think we suffer many times from spiritual atrophy, where we sit in our trees and we ponder and we wonder and we pray. And yet Zacchaeus is very evident when he received the call from Christ, he acted. Didn't quite know what that even looked like, but yet he responded. He came down out of that tree and met with the Savior. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus. The scripture says he welcomed him gladly. The Greek word means to lean towards Jesus. To lean towards Jesus. This causes me to reflect on my own interactions with God. How often do I lean towards God in urgent anticipation and wonder of his next word or his next action? May we actively engage with our Lord through Spirit-led conversation, through prayer, and his word he has given through his scriptures. Lean into Jesus. An active participation in your relationship with him. And that decision impacts eternity. We go on to verse 7 and 8. It says, all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. So my question to you today, does everyone around you see that you sit at the table with Jesus? You see, decision number 7 for Zacchaeus is, how do we respond to the world's judgment of Christ's presence in our lives? How do we respond to the world's judgment of Christ's presence in our lives? You see, Zacchaeus responded by allowing Christ's love and will for his life to transform him in spite of all the muttering that was happening in the world. He didn't try justifying his sin or his worthiness to be in the presence of Jesus. He simply responded to the life Christ called him to live. Again, notice the urgency in which Zacchaeus responds. He says, he takes action, quote, here and now, end quote. Here and now. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. In response, Jesus acknowledges the immediacy of salvation. Today salvation has come. He declares his mission to pursue and redeem his creation. You see, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he who made really big decisions. So I'd like to take you back to that 8th and 9th grade camp this last summer and tell you another story about that very same event. At 8th and 9th grade camp, I remember I was at the registration line and there was this young lady that I could just tell immediately she didn't want to be there. You get that feeling? You see somebody, you know whether they want to be there or not. And I could just tell right off the bat, she didn't want to be there. And as the week progressed, it became even more and more evident. You see, as we went to class or we went to chapel or we went to recreation, this young lady would request, can I go to the bathroom? She was in the bathroom a lot. And it wasn't because she had any medical condition. She just didn't want to be there. So each day she started requesting, can I just call mom? And that's a slippery slope when you call mom. And so we politely said, just go ahead, join in the activities. There's nothing wrong with her. Are you okay? She's okay. So she continued, can I call mom? Can I call mom? It just so happens on Thursday, the dean of the camp says, okay, we'll let you call your mom. It's very interesting because we call mom and mom says, well, is she sick? No, she's not sick. Well, then she's staying. Mom says, good decision, in my opinion. Well, the camper, the young lady, didn't like that. And so she proceeded to decide that she was going to walk home. Well, it was decision Thursday. And as I told you before, we were in chapel. And as we were singing the song, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. The back door of the chapel flung open. It was my wife, Maria. She's the manager of the camp, and she looks one direction, she looks the other direction, and she sees the health supervisor. And there were no words exchanged whatsoever. She just looks at him, and he fires up, and he runs out the back of the chapel because he knew she needed help. So it turns out she sends the health supervisor down the road in order to catch this young lady as she's walking home, while she dials 911. And it just became so evident to me as I look at this in retrospect that while those campers were lined up, they were lined up to identify with Jesus Christ and say, today I want to be with you for eternity. That young lady at the very same moment was walking exactly in the opposite direction. Figuratively, literally, spiritually, she was walking exactly in the opposite direction. And it just became so apparent to me, ladies and gentlemen, the spiritual fight that we are in is so real. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. You might be sitting in the chair here at church, but in your heart, you're walking exactly in the opposite direction of the cross. And the decision you make today and while you're on earth impacts eternity. God loves you for eternity. Do you want to be with Him? Because you see, Zacchaeus wasn't the only man who climbed up in a tree with the hope of being known by those passing by. But you see, while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ climbed up on the tree, allowed his hands and his feet to be nailed on the cross and his blood to be shed for the forgiveness of your sins, that you can be with him for eternity. The decisions you make impact eternity. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for eternity. And Lord, as we gather here as a family, we reflect on who you are and the desire that you have to have a relationship with us. We're just so grateful for that. Lord, I just pray that wherever we're at, whether we need to meet you for the first time, whether we need to commit our lives to you again because we walked away, whether we need to get out of the tree and just serve you, whether we need to run ahead to just see a glimpse of your glory, whether we're running in exactly the opposite direction of the cross. Lord, we know that your salvation is available, and it's available for us. Lord, thank you so much for your gift of salvation. We just pray that what we do, what we say, and the decisions we make be according to your will for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.